Good Tuesday. Today is April the 15th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, for years, firefighters have been trained to respond to protect life and property. Now, Ohio soybean farmers are responding to protect our firefighters by developing a new product called Soy Foam. It's a firefighting foam. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Rusty Goble. Rusty, a soybean farmer from Northwest Ohio, also currently serving as president of the Ohio Soybean Association. Rusty, we're down in Central Ohio today, Asheville, Ohio, for a demonstration of soy foam. That's a firefighting foam. As a farmer, what's that mean to you when you see some of these new uses develop for these soy products?
Yeah, I think it's great that we can have anything we can use out of soybeans, whether it's soy foam or crayons or whatever. This one looks like it's going to be a very good thing. It's going to be safer for our farmers, for our firemen, than a lot of them in our community are farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, and the PFAS that we're trying to get rid of out of the old foam, you know, that's just all we had over the years. Now, if we can get this with the soybeans, you know, it helps us use up soybeans. And it's also safer on the environment and safer for our firemen, that most of them do not get paid probably enough for being firemen. And so we don't want it to be hazardous for them. And the soybean foam looks like it's going to be a good thing for us.
Again, my guest today, Rusty Goble, president of the Ohio Soybean Association. I'm visiting today with Steve Reinhardt. Steve, a soybean farmer from Ohio, past president of the United Soybean Board. Steve, we're down in Asheville, Ohio, taking a look at the soy foam, a firefighting foam demonstration. I'm curious, as a soybean farmer, but also as a past firefighter and all the involvements you've had, what does seeing this product come to fruition mean?
Well, Dusty, this has actually been a really great product. This is something that the checkoff program got involved with Green Plains Solutions in Dalton, Georgia about 3 years ago. And for us to have a project start and then come to actually commercialized event in 3 years is actually really neat to see, and that fast turnaround and being able to get it out there for our first responders to use. I call it a triple win product. You know, it's good for our first responders, which a lot of times are our farmers in our rural communities. It's good for the environment, and then we get to sell soybeans in the process. So it's really interesting as we go into this new world of biofuels and increasing crush. We have more meal available, which is also helping our livestock industry, which is our number one customer. But then we can take that meal and take the soybean flour, and this is what the product is actually made out of, soybean flour. And then to see that when the pallets, for instance, were lit and extinguished, they couldn't hardly light them again because of the way the product coats that wood and really makes it a detriment or deterrent for the fire to rekindle. The other thing that I think is really interesting is that, you know, we totally get rid of the PFAS concern, which we know has been linked to many health effects of our first responders, and you know, just a really good a product, and really, really happy to see it being commercially available this fast, and being able to help those first responders in the process.
Well, triple win, I like that. And again, all thanks to soybean farmers' checkoff dollars. My guest again today is Steve Reinhardt.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Well, the final USDA State Stories report for March, when compared with the initial series offerings in November, provides a look at winter wheat conditions in major growing states and a glimpse as crops come out of dormancy. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Early April is the transition period for USDA crop reporting. The monthly State Stories recap of those states reporting winter wheat condition gives way to the weekly crop progress report. Yet USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the final State Stories report for the season, covering the month of March, gives a preview of the upcoming winter wheat growing year. He starts, though, with a comparison of the nation's winter wheat crops from in and out of dormancy. From last fall to this spring.
That tells a tale of mixed conditions across the Great Plains, where a lot of the hard red winter wheat is grown.
He adds that of the seven major Great Plain production states reporting winter wheat condition in the final State Stories report of the off-season,
we actually saw deteriorating conditions in five of those seven states. That is due to drought, in some cases winter kill, and just generally unfavorable conditions. It was a rather dry and windy winter for large sections of the nation's midsection.
Only Colorado and Montana reported winter wheat conditions fairly the same from last November to the end of March. As for other states,
we've seen that South Dakota winter wheat crop drop to 50%, very poor to poor. That's from 32% back in November. Similar picture in Nebraska, despite some late winter snow, 34% very poor to poor for winter wheat, 19% was the number back in late November. Texas, we have been dealing with this March wind, warmth, and drought. 33% of the Texas wheat crop is rated very poor to poor, up from 18% back in November.
Two additional plain states faring poorly, but not as poorly as the others, regarding winter wheat condition at March's end.
Oklahoma, 27% very poor to poor, 16% was the number a few months ago. Kansas going from 12% very poor to poor to 17% very poor to poor between late November and late March.
By crop type, about half to three quarters of the nation's soft red winter wheat is in good to excellent condition, according to five Midwestern states reporting conditions last month.
And unless we have something like a freeze or a flood event between now and harvest, that bodes pretty well for the soft red winter wheat crop.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.